Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Hey, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coco Express Show for Saturday, May 28th, 2011. And it is that time again. We are going to have Paradigm Shifters, Principles for Life and Success with none other than Steve Duncanson.
Paradigm Shifters, Principles for Life and Success, hosted by motivationalist Steve Duncanson. Start framing your tomorrows today.
Good afternoon, Aurelia.
Good afternoon, Steve.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. And good afternoon to you, all listeners. We're really glad that you took the time to tune in to the program, whether you're listening to us live or that you also take time out of your schedule to listen to the recording. Either way, we definitely appreciate you listening in and hope that we're lending value to you. Really, I'm glad to be back, having missed last month.
I know.
The schedule has really been tight, and that's nothing I'm complaining about at all. The reality is this: that you know the deal when you work for yourself. That if you're not working, then you're not eating. That's kind of like how that goes. So I'm certainly glad that God's been good to tell you that my schedule. I am booked. I can tell you, I am booked. Every single day, every single weekday in the month of June, and I had four days off, weekdays off in the month of May. I have bookings all the way up into November, pretty much at this point. Like I said, I am extremely grateful, so no complaints whatsoever. But I'm glad to be able to work the radio program in there.
Oh, I'm glad to have you.
Yeah, it's really, really great to be back. And I don't know if it's because we didn't have the call last month or because I'm paying attention, excuse me, all the more at this point in time, but I'm really full. And like I shared with you earlier before during our pre-phone call, that I got a whole lot of stuff that I don't know how we're going to fit it in 30 minutes. But I'm going to do my best to make sure not necessarily give you quantity, but quality, so that, again, our listeners can utilize these principles to change their life. And even as I share things here today, the aspect of why we call it paradigm shifters is because we can change our thinking, we can change our lives. We've talked about the premise being that referred to as cognitive rational theory, right, or the process of manifestation, or no matter how you look at it, it's the principle of understanding that what a person believes determines what they think. What they think determines how they feel. How they feel determines how they act, and how they act determines the results that they get. Ultimately, it all begins with belief. And certainly we can challenge anyone's belief, and they can have another foundation to operate from that can lend itself to changing your life. And so, bottom line principles, because they are broad and basic rules of truth, they do not change. They are in them, and you can build on them, ensure that they're going to work no matter what the context. Really, even as I was going through here today, certainly because they are principles, they work in a multiplicity of contexts. Because the ones that I drew out today, based on some experiences that I had, are some under the laws of self-fulfillment, and one of them specifically is from the laws of love and relationships. Now, relationships is not the thing that I talk about all that much, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know.
You know? Well, the reality is, you know, we all have to stay in our lane. That's all I'm saying. There's stuff that I can give you advice about, and then there's stuff that maybe I got to get some advice on, right?
I say if you're living, then you've had love.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely.
And if you're living, you've had relationships, so you can give advice on your experiences.
Okay, that's true. Yes, you can give advice on experiences. I would agree with that. And maybe at some point in time down the road, we will talk about relationships. Right?
All righty then.
But today, we're going to be focusing in a couple of laws. And again, one of them comes from that area and the other from the law of self-fulfillment. But here's the deal. You know, it's about living life with our antenna up. And I know you say these words that we've heard before, but repetition is the mother's skill. So hearing things over and over again is kind of important. But living life with our antenna up. In other words, paying attention to the things that are happening, because life is always teaching us lessons. It's always teaching. But the key is, are we learning, right? And I think I've shared once before that acronym for the real meaning of life, which is lesson and framing events. Our lives are a series of events. How we frame those events determines whether we consider ourselves to have a good life or a bad life. We are always, again, life is teaching, are we learning? So LIFE is lesson and framing events. Well, I had kind of some lessons, even just last night, and certainly a positive thing, but it's really reflective of the fact that we can learn at any given point, any time, anywhere, in any circumstance, if we are paying attention. And so, you know, my dad used to tell me, if you got to pay attention, or you're going to pay somebody. So certain things he would say oftentimes, you need to learn. In fact, you learn the lessons, because if you do the same thing the same way, you expect to get different results. That's insanity. And he said, and really is not to do what you know to do. That's what it was. Not to do what you know to do is stupid. If you're gonna be stupid,
I'm cracking up.
All right, so let me get to it. I know I'm talking about a whole lot of stuff today. Let me give our listeners something that they can utilize. So, you know, last night, a buddy of mine, Phil, we went bowling. You know, that's something that we do from time to time, extra activity. And so I bought a new bowling ball, and had it re-drilled, finally fitting the size of my hand.
And those are some big hands, if I must say.
So, like, I'm 6'3", 240, so my hands are kind of big. And so they had to re-drill it. The ball, however, is a ball that's a little bit heavier than I normally utilize. I normally throw a 14 or 15-pound ball, but this ball is a 16-pound ball. One of the lessons is, you know, sometimes we think a little bit isn't a lot, but it's amazing the difference that a single pound can make, you know, when you have to consistently lift it, consistently roll it. 1 pound can make a difference, right? So at any rate, as I was – I had this ball. Now, I had to learn how to throw it a bit differently, because it has a hook. Yeah, you're able to hook it a little bit more on the lane than you can with house ball, bowling ball. And so as I was doing it, I initially started doing it the way I always had. And I normally, again, I'm not a huge guy, but, you know, kind of sort of, I guess, big. And I normally throw the ball hard and fast, and was pretty good with the directional with the ball, how I was directing it, placing it. And I would kind of like terrorize the pins, right? So it hit, and I'd obliterate. And so that worked. However, utilizing this new ball, as heavy as it was, I couldn't continue to do it the same way. In addition, the way the ball is weighted, it hooks at a different time based on how you release the ball. Is any of this making any sense to you right now, Aurelia?
Yeah, I'm great. Calling Gutta Ball Steve in a second.
Hey, easy. I wasn't throwing a bunch of gutta balls. Right? But here was my point, right? So my buddy Phil was telling me, Steve, you got to slow down. You got to slow down and don't throw the ball rolling. He said, don't use force. Use power. I was like, huh? And then I was reminded of a conversation that me and I had some time ago about the difference between power and force. Force is simply the exertion of energy alone, the exertion of energy. Power includes energy, but it also includes knowledge, information, understanding. And so his thing was, don't try to, you know, the ball is 15 pounds over time. It's going to become difficult to lift. It'll seem like it's extremely heavy. What will make it lighter is if you don't use force, use power. Understand the dynamics. And so, there's a law called the law of reverse effort. This is one of the law of reverse effort. And what that law says is this: it says the harder you don't try, the easier it tends to be. Isn't that weird? The harder you don't try, the easier it tends to be. The harder you do try, the less natural you are and the more difficult. So when I was taking the ball and I was utilizing a whole lot of force throwing it, it was more difficult. The ball was extremely heavy. It was also more difficult to direct. But when I used less force, that being less energy, and I utilize the understanding of the dynamic power, understanding the dynamic how the ball worked, I ended up throwing a whole lot more strikes and a bit more accurate with my spares than I was only using force.
So you can teach an old dog new tricks, huh?
Yeah, that's one thing too, right? The willingness to learn new ways. I did feel the way, you know, some years ago, Tiger Woods, he learned a new swing. He had to teach himself or be coached into a new swing because that was when he was at the pinnacle of his game. He was the number one player in the world when he changed his swing. So he didn't change his swing because he was losing. He changed his swing because that would lend itself to longevity. He'd be able to play over longer periods of time. Mm-hmm. And similarly, with regard to switching up how I was rolling the ball as opposed to throwing the ball, rather than utilizing force, utilizing power, which again is knowledge. And the whole issue was that I wasn't utilizing that hard aspect of it, but being able to tap into understanding of the dynamics of the ball. Now, of course, it took some practice and continues to take practice because one day does not a professional make. Mm-hmm. However, during that period of time, I experienced sparks of greatness, meaning there was a point where I had a row. Utilizing the new system, yet I was tempted to go back to the old way because what I was familiar with, the muscle memory was for the old one. I had to develop new muscle memory by practicing the new way. So the law of practice says whatever you practice over and over again, often enough, becomes a new habit. So you can develop any habit action or behavior designed by practicing it, first of all, in your own mind, prior to the situation that requires it. So it means before, even without the ball. Thinking about that, I don't know if you were following the Eastern and Western Conference Championships this past week where the Miami Heat and now the Dallas Mavericks are going to be in the finals. And were you following basketball?
Yes, of course.
Okay, all right. Sidebar, who are you rooting for, the Heat or the Mavericks?
I'm with the Heat. I'm sorry, I've been with the Heat all along.
There you go, all right. I'm with you. So what you'll notice, not only in that game, but just players in general, when they're standing at the foul line, before they shoot, they oftentimes just go through the motion of shooting the ball into the basket. And if you have dialogue with various ones of them, they will confirm and affirm the fact that what they're doing is visualizing. They're picturing it before they actually shoot the ball. Linking that back to the law of practice, it says you can develop any habit, pattern of action, or behavior you desire by practicing it in your mind prior to the situation that requires it. So that means before you get into the situation, develop the habit, practice it. So there are various places that you get questions coming, please.
Yeah, I do. I have both. Like, for instance, a few years back, I was in the village and I was walking past the Blue Note. And I just happened to look in the window and I saw Dizzy Gillespie in there. And he wasn't blowing the horn. He was just standing there with his fingers in the air and everything, just making the movements as if he was blowing, you know, the trumpet and everything. So that was him visualizing whatever it is that he was going to do or play prior to him playing. And then once he put the trumpet in his hand and in his mouth and the mouthpiece in his mouth, he began to play. Same movement. Same exact movement. And that's how I related that to that. And the question is, now, you mean to tell me, okay, good and bad. So if you continue to do something repetitively all the time, that means that you become... Your memory focuses on that particular action whenever that scenario pops up.
Absolutely. You bring out that point. Because the law of practice works good or bad, positive or negative, something you want or something you don't want. Excellent, excellent point. Because what are the things that we're consistently either doing or running through in our minds? And if you're consistently having this picture of the negative, of something that you don't want, you're developing that habit, and you're also activating the law of attraction, right? Because the law of attraction, you know, we've gone through that before, you know, whatever you focus in on, you know, that's what you're drawing to. You end up getting more of that. And so the law of affirmation, again, whether that is positive or negative, whatever you affirm to yourself, whatever you repeat to yourself often enough, will eventually be accepted by your subconscious mind as a fact and will become part of your beliefs.
That's why I tell myself I'm beautiful every day.
I missed that. What'd you say?
I said, that's why I tell myself every day, I am beautiful. I am beautiful. I know.
Hey, absolutely. You got to tell you. You don't tell you, who's going to say? You can't wait for somebody else to, right?
But I don't have that problem, okay?
I'm not insinuating that you do. I'm simply saying that, that positive or negative, whatever you affirm to yourself. And so, you know, invariably, you know, I'm sure various ones of our listeners can relate to this on many different levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And though you did mention certainly in jest about looking in the mirror and saying that to yourself, you know, here's the reality. There are some people that just don't like themselves. They have low self-esteem for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And what we all need to recognize is that there is genius in every one of us.
Yes.
There's something that from before the foundation of the world, and wax spiritual on you here, but the reality is there's an ability that we all have it innate. Something that we were created to do,
mm-hmm.
which is our purpose in life. There's a certain potential that we possess. So the law of talent, if we can link that to this in here, the law of talent says your greatest opportunities lie in the development and the exploitation of your inborn talent and abilities. And I'll repeat it one more time. The law of talent, greatest opportunities lie in the development and exploitation of your inborn talent and abilities. You are genius in some area. And so believing that about yourself more and more will come from affirming it, even as you look at yourself in the mirror each and every day. You've heard me say this before, the most powerful words you will ever hear are the words that you say to yourself. The most powerful affirmation is a visualization, seeing it ahead of time, even closing your eyes and picturing that thing that you want, a place that you want to be, a skill that you want to have mastered and cultivated, whatever the case is that you want to get at the clear picture of it. You want to smell it, taste it, feel it. And then consistently practice that in your mind. And that will lend itself to developing the skill, tracking the thing, and becoming what it is that you want. But your point about it being working in positive and negative is absolutely true.
Now, the other thing that I would ask you is, you know, what about the you know, being grateful for achieving all this stuff? Because a lot of times I find that, you know, we have talent and we practice it and we, you know, we affirm a lot of things. But why is it so hard for us to be grateful for what's not seen that we believe to be true?
Good point. You know, why are we not grateful is a very curious thing. And I think, and again, this goes out on top of being principled to my opinion. I certainly like to differentiate between the two.
Mm-hmm.
But I think kind of often we aren't grateful when we assume that we should have something, we have the right to something, and that somebody or something owes us, and or we get it in our own efforts, and so forth, is what they're only grateful. And the reality is that the law of life is gratefulness because none of us brought ourselves here. None of us gave ourselves the innate ability that we have. None of us created this earth and all the things that lend us the ability. You know, again, my favorite book said it's the Creator, it's God, who's given us the ability to gain, to get wealth in the context of the reference of the Scripture, but the understanding of the concept is that whatever we have, we've been given. And if we operate from that standpoint of whatever I have, I've been given, then it should automatically create within us gratefulness.
So isn't that the law of gratitude?
Yeah, certainly. And I'm sure there are other some dynamics that look like govern the law of gratitude, but certainly that fits specifically in there, that whatever you are grateful for, you end up being more of. Whatever you are not grateful for, you end up losing. Right? And so, but why people don't, or why sometimes, because I can't point the finger at anyone, there certainly are times when I may think that I might forget to give thanks, to be grateful for something that I may have been blessed with.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. And oftentimes I'm in front of audiences and speaking to people and hundreds of people, different places, whatever. Before I get in front of it, I have a thought, kind of more in prayer and ask for a fresh anointing or ability to be able to impact the hearts and minds of people. And when the session is done and anyone's been impacted, I always try to remember to say thank you. To be grateful for the opportunity for people to listen and for the ability to think and recall and share things and put in a way that can benefit people and to be blessed to do what I love to do and people want to pay me for it. I mean, all these things, there's way too much to be grateful for. But certainly, gratefulness would feel good to you. You have your ability and you have the gratefulness to your field.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Excuse me?
Are we out of time already?
No, we have 6 more minutes. Nope, 5
okay.
minutes. 5 minutes.
All right, you have a question or comment?
Okay, in regards to being grateful and stuff, if we just spiral that down to more, you know, finite perspective, I mean, each day we wake up, that is the gift. Right there.
Sure. Absolutely. Yes, it is. Yeah. And like you said, that is something, it's easy to take for granted the common things that we experience often. Have you ever awakened one day and either felt extremely sick or like a really bad toothache or something like that? And you're like, like in the moment, it's horrible. And then even thought, you know, as you're walking around, other people aren't experiencing that right now, but you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so sometimes when I'm not in that pain, be grateful that I am not. Be grateful that I am healthy. Be grateful for whatever the blessing is. And it's easy for us to sometimes forget that whatever we have, we don't have to have. In other words, it could be taken at any given moment in time, which is why I believe that being conceited is something that's foolish, because whatever you have can be taken.
Yeah.
The way you look, and I believe the way we look, the way we sound, our build, where you live, all those things are part of your purpose that's been given to you by the Creator God. And ultimately, we have a responsibility. It's nothing for us to be conceited about, to be grateful for. Often, people say, oh, your voice is any other. And I'm grateful every time, but here's what I recognize. I had nothing to do with it.
Nope.
Nothing to do with it.
You just fell into that one.
It is what it is, you know. And mm-hmm. I recognize it being a part of that. God knew I was going to speak to people, and it's a voice maybe that tickles the ear, and so people want to listen. That's the purpose of it, not to say, oh, yeah, Steve, you're the devil. No, I'm not.
You know what I think it is? It's the voice that people will want to listen to. So because you have such a distinctive voice and unique, people are going to listen to what you have to say, and the message that you're delivering is being heard more carefully because of the gift that you have.
Sure. Sure, and I would certainly agree with that. I would certainly agree with that, and with that is the opportunity for gratefulness. Thank you that I sound the way that I sound. Thank you that you've given me the ability to have insight into certain things, to put it in a certain way that people can understand, consider it, to challenge the present perspective, so that they can have another perception. Another feeling, action, get a different sort of result. And again, all of it is linked. And I believe that gratefulness is the seed for more.
Yes,
gratefulness is the seed for more.
Yeah, and you need to, you know, thankful. I'm thankful for your intellect, because you could open your mouth and say something crazy too, you know.
As you've heard me do in the past, we won't talk about that right now.
But that's only in fun. But for the most part, what you say has a profound message to it, and it has meaning, and it has value to it, and it enhances the lives of those that you're speaking to. So therefore, that is something that is a gift as well. So that all goes hand in hand, because you couldn't do and be who you are if you didn't have all of those abilities, which are gifts.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that the same thing exists for everyone. Everyone has a gift unique to them,
mm-hmm.
and what we need to do is cultivate and develop that gift. So even someone born with a musical ability gets a coach so they can develop skill in the area of the gift. And so two last laws, remind us of one and share one other just before we close, because I know we're just about done here.
So 1 minute.
The law of practice, once again, is whatever you practice over and over again, often enough becomes a new habit. And you can develop any habit, pattern of action, or behavior you desire by practicing it in your mind repeatedly prior to the situation that requires it. And the last law, the law of self-development. You can mm-hmm. become whatever you want in life if you will learn what you need to know in order to achieve it. And okay. So it's whatever you want to become, linked with part of the law of talent. It's something that you've been given, cultivate it, develop it.
All right. That is excellent. Well, I know before we end, I would also like to, say a prayer to all of those people who are affected by the tornadoes that have hit the United States and hit them hard. And as you said that, you know, they have the ability to see God's work firsthand, you know, and unfortunately some people didn't make it. And for those that did, they have the ability to move forward and recreate their lives however way they want to. And my prayers go out to each and every one of them.
And we're talking about opportunity to be grateful, huh?
Yes, okay. Yes, yes.
So thank you very much again.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you guys again next month.
All right. Okay, yeah. have a great one. Thanks, everyone.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real. Listen, learn, and live.